Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right. Welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined again by Randall Engston.
I'm in trouble today.
Randall, get to your room. Yeah. Hey, real quick, guys. This episode is like only a couple days left before the Grow Summit early bird tickets go away. So you're going to miss out. If you don't go grab your tickets right now, pause this episode, click the link in the show notes, go buy your tickets, and then come back to make sure you lock in those special rates, unless you want to pay more later. It's up to you.
You want to be there either way. So yeah. Save yourself some coin.
Guys, I'm so excited about this Grow Summit. More later on that, but we're deep in the weeds on the planning. I went out there. It's freaking awesome. It's gonna be great. Killer. Chicago, dude, I love Chicago, man.
Awesome place, man.
I mean, everybody's so much crime, and I'm like, I don't see any crime.
Yeah, it's a lot of the, you know.
I'm not down no, in the no south news side is of good. Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. You're not walking through.
But honestly, it was clean. Very few vagrants floating around. I mean, a couple here and there, but like that's any city you go to, no matter if it's Chicago or Phoenix or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it was fine. It was beautiful. The wind was blowing. It was sunny,
and the location, I mean, we're right there in the Magnificent Mile. You're on the river. It is the beautiful side of downtown right there.
It really is.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a Chicago guy. I've only been a few times. I went to Wrigley when I was younger, you know, and so like right outside the hotel, the Swiss Hotel is where we're hosting the event. Right outside, there's a little like stairwell down to the river, and you can just walk along the river, and then you can go back up the stairs and go out to the Navy Pier. It's right there. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. People were out, jogging, walking their dogs. Very cool.
Yeah, it's fun spot. We'll, what are the dates? September 4th through 7th?
5th through 7th.
5th through 7th.
Yeah, September 5th. It was funny. I went to a like a little hole-in-the-wall bar type place to get, you know, that vibe, Chicago vibe. The bartender was like a 30-year veteran. Like, he's been a bartender there for like 30 years. He's like, oh, yeah, how's the weather? He's like, the weather in Chicago, you got two seasons.
Yep.
We got winter and construction.
Yep.
That's so funny to me.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
All right, let's rock and roll, guys. This particular topic is literally the stain on this industry. This is the biggest problem with the fitness industry, and I'm certain other industries face a very similar problem, but I don't know of any worse than the fitness industry when it comes to personal trainers working for a company and deciding at some point to leave and then taking clients with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a personal trainer and you're listening to this, you're like, of course I would do. I mean, there's definitely two mindsets when it comes to this. A lot of gym owners started their gyms after working in a LA Fitness or a big box gym and taking their clientele over to start their own gym. So you are the problem, for being honest. Yeah. Like, honestly. And if this hasn't happened to you yet, you're too young in business because this will happen to you. You've hired a coach. You maybe have several coaches. They're working for you. They're training clients that you're providing, right? You're doing the marketing. You're doing the sales. You're doing providing the client to the coach. The clients and the coach get a great bond, great relationship going. Maybe it goes on for months or even years. And then at some point that coach decides, one, I want to go open my own gym, or I want to go be an independent trainer out of another gym, or whatever, a million reasons. And they say, you know, I'm going to quit or I'm going to leave. And they half your clients leave with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen let's see here. One, two, at least three times this has happened here in 15 years. It's not bad.
Sure.
And really the last one that happened, it was writing was on the wall way too, or we should have fired her way long before we did, but whatever, live and learn. Now, How do you prevent this? This is something that you need to be deliberate when it comes to how you set up your operations in your gym and how you run your operations and your systems to prevent this from happening, because at the end of the day, it will happen to you. Yep. Unless you do all these things. And even then you're still at risk. And I will say this, there's three sides to that. There's the gym owner's point of view, the personal trainer or fitness coach's point of view, and the client's point of view. I don't blame the clients at all when this happens.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because in a situation where the client's working out with a coach and they're getting great results and they build this great relationship and the coach ends up leaving, it's only natural that the client wants to go with that coach because that's who they worked with. Mm-hmm. And like that's who they credit the results that they're getting from the gym with. And they're like, yeah, I'm just going to go with her. They don't ever think about the business. And if they do, the business is the bad guy in this equation anyway.
Yeah. Why did that trainer have to leave? Why was the trainer not happy here? It must be the relationship that they have with the business that's caused them to go somewhere else. Therefore, I'm going to go with them because why would I support the business if they weren't supporting the coach?
There you go. And you nailed it.
And again, it's an assumption, right?
They don't know the story.
Yeah, they don't know the truth. And if they do know something, it's probably only because they only heard it from the coach. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's obviously a number of things that we'll get into to how to help mitigate that.
Right. And then that's the client's point of view. The coach's point of view is like, well, I did all the work and I'm the one providing the results and it's my brain that in hard work that's getting this client results. So therefore I deserve this client. And then the gym owner's point of view is that's an employee of mine. I spent money to market. I actually made the sale and I become a member and the coach gets up paired up. However you pair up your coaches with clients, that was from me. This coach wouldn't have that client without me.
Correct.
That's what the gym owner's thinking. Right. And so everybody's right in the situation.
Sure.
Because that's perception's reality.
Yeah.
From the gym owner side of the equation, it's like you wouldn't have this client if I didn't provide the marketing, the rent on this place, the equipment, my programming or maybe not, or the environment and all of the things that go into having a gym wouldn't exist unless it was for the gym's business, right?
Yeah.
And so again, everybody's right in this situation, and you know, it becomes a huge issue, especially when coaches start soliciting the clients or the clients reach out to the coach direct and like, well, I'm over here at this place. And then they cancel their membership at the gym. This happens.
It does.
And you listen, you're nodding your head. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's definitely what's going on. Attention gym owners. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Join our exclusive Facebook group, ProFit Accelerator, and unlock the potential to scale your gym to $30,000 a month and beyond. In the ProFit Accelerator group, we're going to focus solely on helping gym owners just like you win. We offer regular training sessions and share our best proven strategies to boost your business. Join us now by searching for ProFit Accelerator on Facebook. Be part of a community that's all about success and growth, the ProFit Accelerator, where gym owners thrive. All right, now let's get back to the show. So There's a lot of things that we do and we put in place to create insurance policies around this not happening. Number one, I think the biggest, most important part of this whole equation is that the clients need to realize that at a minimum, the programming and the results that they're getting are coming from the gym.
I agree. And that's probably the biggest thing. But before we get in there, I would think we should lay the foundation of the relationship the coach and the business have first. Because if you're operating your business with independent contractors and you aren't the business that's actually acquiring the clients, retaining them, or maybe you are, but you're still providing those training clients to independent contractors, that relationship is still going to be different than, you know, your ability to even mitigate some of these things.
This is a great point. It's the relation. What is the first question is, what is the relationship between the business and the coach? Is the coach a W-2 employee that works and gets paid by the gym via paycheck or whatever? Or is the coach a 1099, maybe paying rent to run their business out of the facility? And maybe not, but maybe, and it's a 1099 contractor that's providing a service within the four walls independently with their own LLC, with their own business, that's a different relationship.
Yeah. And the reason I want to bring that to the table is because, I mean, I just got off a call with gym owner last week who had independent contractors as the facilitators of the training. But at the same time, the business was still acquiring the clients. The business was still paying the rent. The business was still in charge of all of the aspects of the business beyond training and providing those clients to the independent contractors. So that of everything might be the most muddy of situations.
That is muddy.
That's the hardest way to show that you as a business owner have any right to that client outside of, you know, you created the relationship, but you handed them off.
Well, so, I think the third way is like if the coach is an independent contractor in your gym and that coach goes out and gets their own clients, then there's definitely no right to the gym for any of those clients because they came in. So let's paint this picture. So let's paint this picture. If a situation is where there's an independent contractor that a gym trainer that goes out and acquires their own clientele, the gym should not have rights at all or repercussions if they leave with that coach.
Yeah.
If that's true, then the opposite should be true. If the gym provides the client to the contractor, then the contractor should have no right to the client.
Agreed.
If the first situation's true, the second has to be true.
Yep.
And none of it is true, if we're being honest. Like none of these rules matter because what's going to happen. I had a coach, his name is Chris Smith. You know him.
He's going to stop in like this week. I just talked to him last weekend.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
He was a coach of ours and great guy, amazing guy. Ended up getting a job doing something else. We had a lot of clients that were reaching out to Chris. Hey, can I train with you at the new place? And he would not take anybody. He never burnt that bridge.
Yeah.
We kept the clients within the four walls of the gym. We reassigned them to new coaches. And Chris has worked for me several different times for different roles and projects over the years because
the relationship he maintained. Yep.
That and I'll never forget that. And Chris is a stand-up dude. And in fact, apparently he's coming in this week.
So, we're still in touch with him. I mean, he literally it had to be 4 days ago.
Yeah.
I was talking to Chris. So
there you go. Chris, shout out to you, buddy. You never, and I've told you that, man. So there's nothing
new there.
Nothing new. Yeah. So we've got all these situations. I don't know. Like, where do we start in this? Well, let's start with the gym that has W-2 employees.
Yeah. And I think for the reason, like, when we talk about the models and the systems, when we compare it to the business that Tim is operating here at Legacy, that is our situation, right? So, like, that is the belief that we have. If you, like, as you listen to this show, when we're talking about pretty much everything, like, that's the layout that we're recommending because that's how we do things here. Like, that's the best version for what we teach, in our opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And consult your accountants and tax lawyers because most of you guys are breaking the law when it comes to having independent contractors that you force to wear your uniforms. Brand.
Yep.
You have team meetings with them. You tell them how to do it. I mean, gosh, we're going all over the place right now, but let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
And then we'll get into what the whole point of this episode is. So let's shift gears 1 second. If you're a gym, and you've got personal trainers that are 1099 contractors, which essentially is a contractor in the world of the IRS. And you do anything other than this, you're breaking the law, the IRS law. If you allow your coaches to do whatever they want, whenever they want, send their own schedule, train ever they want, and they just happen to be doing it in your gym, you're not breaking the law because that is what a contractor is. If you tell them they have to be on a certain schedule, if you tell them how to train, if you make them wear your uniform, if you have team meetings with these individuals, even though they're on paper at 1099, you're avoiding the payroll taxes on them, then you are breaking the law. Okay. So if you have influence over how they do their job, then most likely they're should be a W-2 and you're breaking the law. The best analogy to this whole thing, and because they use the word contractor in their name, a plumber.
Plumber, yep.
You call a plumber to do a job, fix the toilet. You don't tell them what tools to use. You don't tell them how to uninstall and reinstall a toilet.
You don't give them the hours that they're going to show up.
They tell you. They yeah. tell you, I'll be there on this date between these two times. That's essentially what should be happening in your gym if you have 1099 employees. They just set their own schedule. They got their own rules, regulations. They maybe have to follow your safety protocol, absolutely, insurance purposes. But if you're telling them, the easiest thing is if they throw your uniform on their shirt, like your logo, you're breaking. I mean, that's it right now. You have influence over how they do their job. So be careful out there. That's another topic for another story. Let's get back to the point of this episode and how to prevent coaches from disappearing and taking 42 clients with them or whatever the number is. Number one. The clients need to believe that the results that they're getting are coming from the gym. How does that happen? Well, we're big proponents on the programming, the workouts that the clients are doing are coming from the gym top down, be it the gym owner, the fitness director, program director, lead coach. Individual coaches shall not write and perform their own workouts. That is the first rule. Because if they do, many things happen. Mm-hmm. Number one, the client's looking at a coach they're working with against another coach across the other side of the gym. How come they get to do that? We have to do this. I want to go train with them. So you're building this animosity between coaches and they start becoming favorite coaches. And we get like, hey, I only want to train with that coach. You got a problem.
Yep.
We have removed the names. I know it's bad, but we removed the names of our coaches from the scheduling software. It's Coach A, Coach B. And it doesn't matter. And we'll switch who the coach, because like, we have like block time, like we have morning coaches and afternoon coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say Brandy's A and Caden's B today. Next week, Caden will be A and Brandy will be B. No, just because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Our clients are booking a time. It's irrelevant on, you know, so it doesn't matter who
yeah,
the coach
is.
Yeah,
it,
because
sure.
The workout's the workout and it's coming from the gym down. Now, the second thing is to protect your gym from this happening. The software that we use, we created Semi-Private Pro. A coach can't just go duplicate that and go move into another gym.
Yeah.
Because that's proprietary to the gym by design.
Yeah.
So the fact that we lean very hard on the software with the tablet, Semi-Private Pro, it protects the gym. And it makes the clients understand that the coach didn't create that workout. It's coming from that screen, which is owned by the gym, right?
Yep.
And by the way, we created a white label version. You guys could do the same thing. Another thing Semi-Private Pro does is it makes your large group training look different than your semi-private training, just visually on a glance. Oh, well, that has the screen and the thing going on, and that just looks like a bunch of people getting sweaty.
Hot, sweaty bodies in the room.
Yep. Okay, so like that's the next thing.
Hey there, gym owners. Is your business standing strong, making at least 30K or more a month? And you're seeking the next challenge, like what's the next step in your journey? Well, look no further than the Iron Circle. Our elite growth community is the place for gym owners just like you who are not satisfied with the status quo. We'll show you how to take your business from good to great and from a strong gym into a powerful fitness legacy. Head on over to our website and apply to join the Iron Circle at ironcircle.net and start your journey to the next level today. All right, we'll see you inside the show. Bye.
The next thing we do is, well, I kind of buried it in that last thing, was we switch the coaches A and B all the time. So it's like maybe you're training with client, you know, this group of clients this week, and then they switch to the other coach. And if you're doing it right, the experience should be identical between coaches, right? Just like you go to a different Starbucks in Dubai and a Starbucks in Scottsdale, Arizona, you should taste the same.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, there's a human element, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. personalities and things like that. But even within that, we have a standard of operation. So the coach program comes from the facility. Coach brings who they are to the table, but at the end of the day, there's still criteria for how they're going to execute that workout that falls in line with a brand standard as well.
There you go.
So even though, you know, Caden and Brandy have different personalities and maybe somebody resonates with them a little bit more, they're not upset when they're working with the other coach because they're getting a very similar experience regardless. Yep. And that's the whole thing. When we talked about systems on last week's episodes, the standard and the systems control the delivery, control the client experience. The trainer's job is to facilitate that per the brand.
Nailed it. Nailed it. And I know a lot of you are thinking this whole time, well, don't they sign a non-compete, non-solicitation? Yeah, they do. But here's the problem. Here's the biggest problem. Non-competes are, they're gone away.
They're gone away, yeah.
And really, we're not concerned about a non-compete. Like, I don't care if a coach opens up a gym across the street or works for the guy across the street. That doesn't bother me. Like, the non-compete was never the issue. Sure. It's non-solicitation that is the issue. We don't want clients or coaches going and emailing the list that they stole from the gym or calling our clients when they leave.
Yeah.
Soliciting
them, yeah.
Hey, I can get you a half off what you're paying over there with me. Cool. That's the issue. The compete is, we can't prevent anybody anyway from going and working for the gym around the corner. Like that should never have been the problem. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is the solicitation. The second is that there's several factors. Believe me, I have friends that are attorneys, several friends that are attorneys, and we've talked about this particular topic. In fact, Jim Lawyers is a vendor at our Growth Summit, and you can go talk to Matt Becker over there, and he can tell you all about this. You have to prove damages.
Yep.
You have to have solid proof that says, I lost this
financial amount of, yep.
financial damages based on this coach's actions against the rules of this solicitation agreement that has to be written in a way that is even upheld in court. All that to be said is, even if you went to court, the coach and all this stuff happened, even if, most likely the amount you're going to spend on the attorney's fees is less than or more than what you're going to get in return in damages. So yeah. Therefore, you're just like, well, what's the point? I'm going to lose even more money if I go down this route.
To what? Prove the point?
To prove the point.
You know, hopefully the trainer doesn't do it again in the future type of thing.
And
but
then,
again,
and then the other thing is that trainer that goes off and starts taking money under the table and it's cash and they're writing checks and they don't have any taxes coming out. Like, how do you even prove that? Because, I didn't take any money from them. It's nothing on record. Like that would be a big mess.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it because I want you to do it if this is what you want to do, but it should never get to that point. I guess the whole point of this episode is to prevent any of this from happening, right? Like that's not what we're going with this episode, to start freaking suing.
How to go back. Yeah. How to chase after.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I don't believe you should chase. I think you should just let people go and move on and outsell the problem and move on. Like that, because if you dwell on that coach and you know, you're just going to drag into the mud. It's like, what's the point? Cause it's going to be a, he said, she, you know, the gym's always the bad guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And it's not like those clients are coming back after they've moved over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or chose to go with that coach. I mean, that's the big thing. The reason that we're doing this is to how to prevent, not how to go clean up if after this happens.
Yep. And then I would say the last thing, you know, I guess the culture in your gym needs to be open with your coaches. You need to have a full, like, open door policy, anything you need. We're here to support each other. We're a team. Like never should be a point where they feel like it's me against the gym and I'm getting the short end of the stick, and like, just have a conversation. That's really the key. And most of the gyms that we work with, they kind of have these good relationships with the coach. It's not me against you. It's that rogue coach that starts to, start to show signs of creeping off, not showing up on time, kind of like mailing it in, and they got something else working.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see that. I mean, like you said, like the writing was on the wall long before the last one left.
And this is several years ago.
Yeah, this is, right? Yeah.
3 years.
But you typically start to see those signs. And yep. if all of this stuff isn't in place already, again, you're it's too late. Dollar, whatever that saying is, dollar late, dollar, mm-hmm. day late, dollar short. This is the reason that we're talking about this stuff today. Build, like, create the environment where you've mitigated all of that risk. You've taken the ability for this stuff to happen off the plate, and you're mitigating the risk of a coach leaving. That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. Open door policy, making sure there's a path for your coaches, making sure you're supporting them, paying them well, not making them come back doing split shifts and having like a regular life, right? Like,
yeah.
We believe in shifts, like block. We call it block scheduling, but it's really just like a morning shift and an afternoon shift. And if you want to just model what we do, we have two coaches coming in the morning at 5 a.m. We have a 5 a.m. till noon shift, and then we have a noon to 1 is our team meetings, and then our other coaches work from 1 to 8. Last session's at 7 to 8. But on Friday it's 6 to 7, and then we have two in the afternoon. So it's four coaches. Each coach, every hour on the hour, can take six each. So we can essentially take 12 clients per hour in a semi-private atmosphere from 5 a.m. until 8 o'clock at night. That's it. Like, that's a perfect scenario. We have a fitness director in the middle. I think that's it. I think we have only four coaches right now with Zach. And then I think we've got an intern floating around. That's it. That's the simplest model.
Yeah.
And really the model is 200 members at $99 a week is $85,000 a month. And you got four coaches and a fitness director, and the gym owner's out of the operation. There you go.
Yeah, it's what, it's like a million, 28,000 or something like that. We were just doing the numbers last week with 200 members.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the model. That's the million-dollar yep, model.
Million-dollar model.
We have clients that pay 99. That's our lowest rate, and we have clients that pay 129 a week. And it's like 428 and 558. So anywhere between those two numbers. And if you have everybody on the lowest rate doing that at 200, you're still going to be over a million, but most likely not 100% of the people are going to be on the lowest one. There's going to be somewhere in the middle. So your 428 gets up to 458 or 465.
And then, on average, yeah.
Then even when you have 200 members at that, it's even well into the 1-1, 1-1, 1-1-2-5 or whatever. So anyways, went on a rant. This is a problem in the industry. You can prevent it. Don't be blindsided as a gym owner, because it could set you, it could put you out of business. If we're being real, like, you could lose all your clients overnight and be out of business. Like, this is a big deal to you as a gym owner. You
need, massive. Yeah.
Yeah. This could collapse a business. And most likely, I don't know of anybody, but I'm sure it's happened. And it's always the gym's the bad guy. So don't be the bad guy. Be smarter about it and set up these systems and these processes, and make sure that the clients understand that the results are coming from the facility and not necessarily the coach. Yes, we want the coach to have relationships. We want them to be personable. But, you know, in our operation, the coach's job is to facilitate a great session. Nobody gets hurt. High fives. Be a loving coach and, you know, move on.
One thing I want to add to it, I see it, it's probably even more prevalent with group training gyms. Because you're bringing in different trainers who bring in different group styles, right? So you've got somebody who'll do Zumba, somebody who'll do spin, so you have all of these different coaches that are tied to the type of training that you're providing for that session or whatever. Mm. And when that happens, like, if you don't have somebody, if you're not replacing or if you're not swapping out people that are doing a certain style of training within that group, you can expect everybody who's in that seat for that type of training, when that coach leaves, it's not like they're going to go do a different type of class because that coach is gone. They're going to follow that coach to wherever they're doing that now. Mm. And so I think that's one of the biggest risks with group training, is if the brand doesn't have an identity and controls the programming, you can absolutely expect that to be a bigger hit when a coach leaves.
I didn't really think about it that way, but sure.
Because, I mean, if you look at a schedule on a lot of these group training gyms, and it's like, you know, oh, little light barbell boot camp, you know, at this time, then you've got a Zumba, then you've got, they're just all different ways of getting sweaty, but each one of them is a, you know, coach does only specific ones.
Yeah, and makes sense.
That's probably, again, one of those worst situations you could put yourself in.
You wipe out the whole Zumba, you know, modality, even though, you know, we're not,
even though it's group training.
Yeah. Interesting way to look at it. I guess, that is true. So sure. Be careful. Be careful out there, folks. Be careful out there, kids. All right, so hopefully that gets your wheels turning. You're probably pissed off just like I am, and you're like, ugh.
I have to do this? Well,
you don't have to.
It's better to do this than go through the experience of having that coach leave and taking a bunch of clients with him.
Yeah, a disgruntled coach because he did something stupid or whatever. But anyways, that's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. See you on the next show. Bye.
All right, and thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast, where we help gym owners win. Now, do you want to connect with me and other gym owners online? All you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. And when you do, We're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies seven-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.